Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. So much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in today. Hope it's been a great day and a great week so far. Well, here's a question for you. What happens when your greatest talent intersects with your greatest passion? Well, what happens is you find your sweet spot. My guest today is Senior Vice President of NBA's Orlando Magic, Pat Williams. He joins me to talk about his book titled The Sweet Spot for Success, Finding the Place Where Your Talent and Passions Meet. It actually releases the 1st of May, but we've got 3 copies to get into your hands. And I'm telling you, this book will light a fire under you. It will inspire you. It'll help you get focused. I'm so excited for you to hear from Pat. A quick announcement before we hear from my guest today. I want you to know our Spring Share campaign starts next week. And it's your gifts, your faithful giving and prayers that keeps us going and growing. So whether you listen to the radio or through your favorite connected device, I want you to know your support means the world to us. We can't do this without you, and we wouldn't want to. So will you prayerfully consider how you may partner with us in this next year? We're growing by leaps and bounds. We're excited about what God is doing. And as I said, though, we can't do it without you. You can even get a jump start if you'd rather not wait for Share. You can get on our website, myfaithradio.com, and give securely, safely, or call our faith line, 877-93-FAITH. But I just want to say thank you in advance for your generous gifts and for partnering with us to spread the gospel around the world. Well, my guest today writes this. If you have a great passion but no talent, you're going to fall flat on your face. If you are loaded with talent but doing a job you hate, every day of your life will be a drudgery. But if you have passion and your talent are focused intensely on a single goal, you cannot miss. That's the secret of success, finding and staying at it, the intersection of talent and passion. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Pat Williams is Senior Vice President of NBA's Orlando Magic. He's more than 50 years of professional sports experience. He's written more than 100 books, including the popular Coach Wooden's Greatest Secret and The Success Intersection. He's one of America's most sought-after motivational speakers. He lives in Florida. You can learn more about him on the web at patwilliams.com. We're so honored to have him with us today. Hey, Pat, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks, Susie. It's very nice to catch up with you, and I appreciate the invitation. Look forward to chatting with you.
And you as well. And we start every day, Pat, talking scripture. And I wanted to know if we could just talk around Ephesians 3, verses 20 to 21. It's one of my go-to passages. And I've been reading scripture in the Voice translation these days just to read it from a fresh angle. And listen to what it says. Now to God who can do so many awe-inspiring things, immeasurable things, things greater than we could ever ask or imagine through his power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus, the anointed one, from this generation to the next, forever and ever. Just the idea, Pat, that God can do above and beyond all we could ever dare to ask or think. I'd love for you just to give some thoughts on that passage.
Well, I think it comes down to trust, Susie. Trust is such a powerful force. And when you get to the point in your Christian life that you can trust God with every aspect of your life, your career, your children, your health, every single part of your life, when you just say, Lord, I'm leaving it all in your hands. I trust you totally. I know you're a God who loves me, and I'm going to trust you totally. That's when amazing things start happening in our lives, Susie. I think that's when God can really start using us, when we take our hands off of our life and just yield totally and say, Lord, You run my life. You know, you make all things happen. I'm not going to maneuver. I'm not going to manipulate anymore. I'm just going to leave it all in your hands. And I believe that's when things really begin to happen in a powerful way for us. Does that make sense?
So much. And, you know, it's amazing to me how many guests have said in the last few weeks, take your hands off your life. I keep thinking, somebody in the listening audience needs to hear that because it's been a recurring message. Maybe you're white knuckling today and you needed to hear what Pat had to say. I can imagine, Pat, if you're looking over your shoulder, this verse really has come to pass for you. I mean, it seems God has probably done above and beyond all you could have asked or imagined when you were starting out. I mean, looking back, would you say that's true?
Well, Susie, I think back to my days. I started in baseball. I was a minor league catcher for 2 years, then spent 5 years running minor league ball clubs for the Phillies organization. And more than anything in the world, I wanted to move up. I wanted to get to the major leagues. I wanted to be a big league executive, even though I was very young. And I did all the maneuvering. I did all the being in the right place and meeting the right people. And I did it all. And then prior to my 27th birthday, I became a Christian. Dramatic experience in my life. And along with that, I said, Lord, I am taking my hands off my career. I'm just going to remove my hands, and you take this and you handle this for me. Well, about 5 months later, in a way that only God could have pulled it off, I got a call from the general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers basketball team. And keep in mind, I'd spent 7 years in baseball, asking me to come and really run the front office for him, because the GM was also going to become the new coach, and he needed somebody to run the front office. So there I was, completely unaware that any of that was going on, and that job was presented to me. I took it and moved to Philadelphia at age 28 and took on this responsibility. And there's no way that I could have even known how to manipulate or maneuver that one. And from that point on, all the way through my 50 years in the NBA, various stops that I've made, God orchestrated all of them, because I didn't have anything to do with any of it. So I'm living proof that when we let God take control and do all the career moves and meeting the right person, you know, for our mate, all of the above, I simply say, leave it in God's hands, and he'll make it a whole lot better than we could.
Thank you, Pat, so much for that. Let's go back to when you were seven. At seven, you had a sense that you wanted to pursue a career in baseball. Take us back to that place, because I think it's good for people to see how this evolved, because Scripture says, you know, man makes his plan and God orders the steps. You had a sports passion, and you thought it was going to go one way, but talk about how God had another plan.
Well, my dad, who was a high school coach and a teacher in Wilmington, Delaware, that's where I grew up, took me to my first major league ball game in Philadelphia when I was 7 years old. And I was immediately captured by the sights and the sound and the smell and the color of baseball. I was hooked as a seven-year-old. I knew at seven exactly what I wanted to do with my life. I wanted to be a ball player. And so through school and then on to college, into the pro ranks, I mean, that was that drove me. I got to a certain level, and it was obvious that I wasn't going to go any higher as a ball player. But the Phillies saw some potential in me as a front office executive, and they gave me opportunities there. And that's what got me going and eventually led to this world of 50 years in the NBA. In other words, Susie, I've been living out that dream of having a life and a career in sports, which started with me as a seven-year-old. So you're never too young. But to parents, I say, don't minimize what your children are doing at 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. What their interests are, because God plants those interests, those red threads in their life, and it's our job as adults to spot them and help nurture them and help inflame them and help those children, you know, grow up living out their dreams and living out what they're good at and what they're passionate about. That certainly happened in my life.
Boy, we got a break coming up in a couple minutes, but I got to reference this story in the book. You talk about having dinner with UCLA basketball coach John Wooden, and you asked him if he could pinpoint one secret of his success in life. What would it be? And he said, The closest I can come to a secret of success is this: a lot of little things done well. Have you found that to be true in your own life, Pat?
Oh, no question about it. Coach Wooden was very, very good to me, Susie. He let me into his life. I've written 4 books about him. The third one you just mentioned was called Coach Wooden's Greatest Secret. And that's what he said to me. He said the closest I could come to one secret of success would be a lot of little things done well. John Wooden, arguably the greatest coach in the history of sports in our country, was a fanatic about dealing with the little things, getting them handled right away, not letting them grow or multiply and become big problems. He was a stickler about that, attention to the detail, the little details. And so it's been fascinating to write about him. My latest book, by the way, has just come out. It's called Coach Wooden's Forgotten Teams, and it's about the summer camps that he ran for many, many years in the L.A. area and the many, many young people that he impacted in the summertime through those summer camps. So I don't think we can ever exhaust, you know, all that Coach Wooden teaches us, even to this day.
Wow. Well, let's pause here. Talking to Pat Williams today, his brand-new book, actually not even out yet. It's out in a few weeks, but we've got 3 privileged copies to get into your hands, this hardcover book. Email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. His title is The Sweet Spot for Success, Finding the Place Where Your Talent and Passions Meet. So just so I know, this is the book you're vying for. Put Sweet Spot for Success, something like that in the subject line. Please remember the mailing address. And if you've got a question for Pat Williams, to email me directly, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And when we come back, Pat, I'd love for you to talk about just some of the obstacles you faced along the way. As God started to give you focused passion, I always say focused passion equals forward movement, and you started to discern that forward movement. Love to know the kind of obstacles you faced and how you negotiated, navigated those things, and we will be back in a minute. Pumps me right up. I love it. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Pat Williams. His book is titled The Sweet Spot for Success, Finding the Place Where Your Talent and Passions Meet. And here you are as a 7-year-old, Pat, and you get this vision. You want to be a professional baseball player. God wanted you in professional sports, but he has you in basketball, in the management realm, and the success you've seen is absolutely amazing. And we're going to talk a lot about just your secret sauce, kind of the thing, how do we identify our talents and our passions and why that's so important? But before we get there, as you started to hit your stride in your career, what were some of the obstacles that you faced and how did you navigate those?
Susie, I do want to point out that even though we are believers, even though we are Christians, that does not mean we're exempt from problems, tough stuff, mm-hmm. Difficult times in our life. We're not exempt. And I'm living proof of that. As I look back over my life, my dad was killed in an automobile accident coming home from my college graduation.
Oh, wow.
And as I look back over my sports career, yes, we've had some wonderful triumphs, but we've had a lot of failures as well, a lot of difficult times, a lot of ups and downs. I went through a very, very difficult divorce that I did not want. 7.5 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer, multiple myeloma, one of the blood cancers. So my life has had a lot of difficult periods. But what I want to say is this: don't waste those difficult periods, because it's in those tough times I have learned that God does his greatest teaching in our lives. We're so clinging to him during the tough times. We're so receptive to what he has to say to us. When things are going very well, we have a tendency, to get quite complacent, quite comfortable. I've got everything under control. But in the tough times, God really can get through to us. So in other words, in the midst of those tough times that we all have, we need to have a spirit that says, Lord, what are you teaching me here? What do you want me to learn? On the other side of this tough time, and it's not going to last forever, how do you want me to be, as far as more tender-hearted, more equipped to help other people? What do you want me to take from all this? I think that's the way to go about it, Susie. I think that's the attitude to have.
Good.
It's not easy to do that, but I think that's really what God wants us to do.
Indeed. Wow, very good. Let's talk about these three objectives you've identified for finding the sweet spot. I'll read them in short, and then we can unpack them. One is identify your greatest talent. Two is pursue your greatest passion. And three is multiply your efforts through teamwork. So talk about this greatest talent. You said that most of us think we know what our talents are, and so that's not so?
Well, Susie, I think let me just go back and talk to parents and grandparents, to teachers and coaches here, to youth workers. You've got an enormous responsibility of studying your children, really becoming world-leading authorities on them, finding out early in their life what it is that they like to do. Where do you spot some skill, some ability here? I've just finished reading a very thorough biography of the golfer Tiger Woods. Listen, his dad had him started, you know, swinging a golf club before he was 1 year old. I mean, the things Mr. Woods did with Tiger as a baby, you know, are just astounding. I don't know that we take it to that extreme, but we need to be on the lookout for what do our children enjoy doing? What is it that they seem to have some talent at? Then we need to nurture it. We need to get them to Little League practice, and we need to get them to cheerleading. We need to get them to computer class, and we need them to get to the art studio, and on it goes. So there's an enormous responsibility that we have to bring that talent out. And your kids will tell you what they're excited about. If it's just like pulling teeth to get them to gymnastics, well, I would say maybe gymnastics is not their sweet spot. It's something that they relish, something they look forward to doing, and have some skill. So talent intersecting with passion, Susie, is right there where you want to be living, and that's where you want your children to really grasp, right there in that intersection.
You write stories. Oh, sorry, keep going.
Susie, I do want to stress that other point, and that is, at the end of the day, extreme dreams depend on teams. Hmm. And we must teach our young people that they can't do it by themselves. You know, whether it's a team sport or whether it's any activity, ultimately it comes down to what kind of a team do you have around you? What kind of a teammate are you? One of the great challenges, I would say, is this question. What do I have to do to be the best teammate that anybody has ever had? There's a good challenge for all of us, no matter how talented we are. How do I become the best teammate that anybody's ever had in any field of endeavor?
Give me some. That's a great question.
When you can get that one pinned in, Susie, whether you're in the military or in the sports world or in the church world or in the business world, it doesn't matter. Striving every day to be the best teammate that anybody's ever had. That's a great challenge for all of us.
Well, let's talk about what a great teammate is as a man who's been in professional sports forever. My boss always says, we can get a lot done if you don't care who gets the credit. I love that, but say more about that.
Well, Susie, I believe that every day, on any organization, we need to be thinking, what can I do to be a great teammate? How about this? A word of encouragement every day to people that you encounter. How about a little email or a card, you know, when somebody really has excelled and you acknowledge that? How about to be a great teammate? How about showing up at work on time every day? How about being aware of everybody in your organization and what struggles they might have, and how you might offer a word of hope to them? It's being absolutely interested in other people. I think that's the key. This new Coach Wooden book that has come out this winter, Susie, Coach Wooden's Forgotten Teams, one of the people we interviewed said this about the great John Wooden. He said John Wooden didn't treat people good. He treated them great. Now, there's a good challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
That every day we're not going to treat people good. We're going to treat them great, whether they're customers of ours or whether they're teammates, whether they are friends, you know, on the outside. We're going to treat them great. Well, you get an organization thinking that way, Susie, you're going to see some magical things happen.
Wow. So we've got about 2 minutes before our hard break at the bottom of the hour. So we're looking at identify your greatest talent. And in a little while after the break, we'll talk about how do you do that? How do you discern what your talent is and pursue your passion? And one thing you say about that, and I think you got a couple minutes here to speak to this, you said, right, contrary to popular opinion, money is actually not the number one cause of job dissatisfaction. Say a word about that, because I think people think if I just make more money, I'm going to be okay. But across the board, that's not really the case.
Oh, I think most people leave an organization, Susie, because they've lost respect or they don't feel they've been treated properly by the leadership of that organization. That's why they leave. And that brings about a whole discussion we could have about the importance of leadership. In any organization, everything rises and falls on leadership. It always has, it always will, and it always will be a topic of intense discussion and interest in our country, whether it's in the workforce or in the church or in the business world. Leadership always determines, you know, what's going to become of any organization. Listen, we could do a couple hours on that one.
Yeah. So when we get on the other side, let's talk about, you offer in the book questions to ask ourselves to help us identify our talent, questions to ask ourselves to identify our passion, and then we find the sweet spot when these two intersect. And that's what we're going to talk about on the other side. Pat Williams is my guest today, president of NBA's Orlando Magic. Title of his book, which isn't out yet. It's out in a couple of weeks here, a few weeks, but we've got three copies. It's titled The Sweet Spot for Success, Finding the Place Where Your Talent and Passions Meet. Let me tell you, life is too short to be going through the motions and not being engaged with your God-given purpose, right? We'll talk more about that on the other side. He's a miracle-working God, and he made you so profoundly. You're his masterpiece. That's what Scripture says. And he's created you anew in Christ Jesus. Why? So that you can do the wonderful things he planned for you long ago. So if your life feels like a drudgery, if it feels like it's been a long time since you thought about your passions and your talents, and you're just going through the motions, or maybe you're at a job that you're actually kind of good at, but you have no passion, your heart doesn't beat for it, you tuned in today for a divine purpose. I'm telling you what, my guest today is Pat Williams. He's president of NBA's Orlando Magic, and he's written a very inspiring book titled The Sweet Spot for Success, Finding the Place Where Your Talent and Passions Meet. It releases the beginning of May, but we've got three advanced copies for you. Email if you want in on the drawing, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. And Pat, I have to read this quote from your book and have you speak to it. It's so good. You write, "You are a unique blend of interests, experiences, abilities, passions, and talents. There is nobody else in the world like you. Every day when you get up in the morning, you have to decide how to put your passions, your talents, and your time to the highest possible use." I'm telling you what, Pat, I think a revival would break out if each of us lived by that. So say more about it.
Well, it's a great point, Susie. And I do hear from people who feel maybe trapped in their job, but they've got to make a living and they got to pay the bills and they've got to support a family. And so they can't go off and do something crazy. So I tell them, you know what I tell them, Susie? Find your passion outside your work. It may be coaching a CYO basketball team, or it may be maybe your golf game. It may be gardening. It may be growing a vegetable garden, you know, that absolutely lights your fire. And in the summertime, you have the thrill of, you know, of plucking all those vegetables. Up your way, it may be ice fishing in the wintertime that really gets you excited, or becoming a huge Twins fan. Mm-hmm. But my point is, if work is not your hot button, but you need it to make a living, there are plenty of other ways to develop interests and passions and things that excite you, you know, on the outside. And so don't limit yourself. It may be distance running. I mean, there are all sorts of ways to get yourself excited about life and fulfilled. It may be teaching a middle school Sunday school class that really pumps you up. That's my counsel to people. Mm. You know, and many of these people I hear from, they want to get into pro sports, Susie. You know, I hear from them. You know, all my life, I want to work for a team. I said, well, sir, how old are you? Well, I'm 52. Hmm. And what do you do? Well, I'm a lawyer. And I'll say, well, sir, what kind of money are you making? Well, it's in six figures. I said, really? So you would like to come here to the Magic and work in group sales, you know, at about $20,000 a year? Is it? Oh, I could never do that. Hmm. But I love basketball. I said, well, coach a team at the YMCA in the wintertime. Mm. Or an AAU team in the summer. That's what I tell them.
Yeah. You know,
In other words, you've got to use your brain here. On the other hand, there are many, many ways to get that passion you have out and make great contributions to people. Does that make sense?
Very much. You know, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I've noticed just, you know, working with young adults that oftentimes when men and women kind of get inspired, like in their 30s where they're reengaging in their faith, so often they want to leave the marketplace and go into ministry. And sometimes that is the call of God, but it seems other times they're looking to validate and maybe have a glorified picture of what life in ministry looks like, which it's not all it always seems. And we need people in the marketplace who are shining the light, you know. So let's talk for just a moment about, because there are times God may call you to take a big audacious risk and leave a job you hate that you're making money at so you can do your passion. But as you said, there's going to need to be some wisdom. So let's think about the person who's identified their passion and their talent, and they get a real sense, though, from God that it's time to make some gutsy changes. But the temptation, I would imagine, is to make a hasty decision because your passion is driving you. Talk about the importance of not preempting God's timing, about the wisdom of walking this out.
And, Susie, getting good counsel from people that you trust who have wisdom as part of their makeup. You need to. It's important to have. You can call them mentors or life coaches, sages. I don't care what you call them, but you need them in your life, and I don't care how old you are, so that when important decisions come up where you need input, you've got three or four people you can turn to, you know, who have godly wisdom, and they can give you good counsel. We need that. We all need that. So we don't run off half-cocked, you know, and head down a path that really has a dead end at the end of it. We got to be very careful there.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people all the time, you know, take your time, don't rush, and you can do a lot of things outside of your career that you will find very fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
At the church or volunteering at the hospital, lots of different areas.
You know, Pat, that
really
speaks.
Get your motor going.
Yeah.
And I'm a sports executive, so I make my living. But on the outside, I speak around the country. That floats me. I write books. Above all, my greatest passion is reading. And I will spend probably 3 to 4 hours every day, Susie, reading. That fuels my speaking. It fuels the books that I write because I'm researching as I'm reading.
Mm.
So that's how I combine all of that, you know, outside of my work.
And Pat, you know, there's something to be said.
I'm not a golfer. I'm not a stamp collector. You know, they're just different areas. I have no interest, but I stay right close to those areas where I do have interest.
Mm-hmm.
And do the best I can to make them as good as I can.
Yeah. I was going to say, there's something to be said about not despising the days of small beginnings. And Scripture talks about if you're faithful with a little, you'll be, you know, God will entrust you with more. And sometimes people want to jump to a massive platform like that, whatever it is, and don't even want to consider volunteering in a particular area. But that's where you start. And I think that's a good test of our character to say, is this really about passion or is this more about self-ambition? Because if you start with passion to say, I care about the poor or I care about teaching people, and you step into whatever opportunity, that takes humility and grit, and God sees that. And I really believe that is the doorway to a greater promotion. Not that you do it for that reason, but there's something to be said about being faithful in the small things, right?
Oh, Susie, we all start at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
In any field. I don't care what field we're in. We start right at the ground level, doing all the grunt work, all the unattractive things, you know, in many cases, volunteering. We're getting paid minimum wage. Internships, I have found, are vital to get a start in any field. And one of the things I worry about, because I see it with young people coming through here and elsewhere, is this word entitlement.
Hmm.
The feeling that I am entitled to this job. I do it. They owe it to me. Well, I have to tell young people, you're not due anything. You're not owed a thing. The only way you're going to make it is to do all the grunt work that everybody else has done over the years, starting at the bottom and learning your profession, gaining experience, being patient, and outworking people.
Mm-hmm.
That's if there's a magic formula, Susie, that's it.
Yeah.
Those people who just are relentless in their work ethic and are willing to do all the extra stuff, who have an attitude about the two most important words in the English language. Do you know what they are?
I can.
What else?
No. Go ahead.
What else? Those are the two most important
words. Oh, very good.
Mm-hmm. What else? What else can I do here?
Mm.
What else can I contribute? What else can I volunteer here? You get a bunch of what elsers in any organization, and they're going to take that organization right to the top.
Mm.
What else?
Tell me this.
Two important words.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be a successful failure? You wrote about that in the book.
Well, Susie, we've touched on this, but it's important to learn from our heartaches and our disappointments and our failures. In the midst of the storm, we should always be saying, Lord, what are you teaching me here? What is it you want me to learn? Perfect example, 7.5 years ago, I went in for my yearly physical, and when I came out, I had this news. There's something in your blood work that doesn't look right. And shortly thereafter, they broke the news to me that I was dealing with a blood cancer called multiple myeloma. That's not what I wanted to hear. There's an initial reaction, God, what are you doing here? How could you allow that? But eventually, I had to come to grips with, Lord, you know what you're doing, and there's a reason you allowed this. Well, I've gotten through it, Susie, and here's what's happened. I've suddenly been thrust into the world of cancer, cancer research, cancer fundraising, above all, cancer counseling. The number of people I hear from pretty regularly who have just been diagnosed and they don't know what to do and they want to talk to somebody. Well, I've ended up on many a phone conversation over the last 7 years. Now, I could never have done that if I hadn't gone through that experience myself. They wouldn't call me. But through the tough stuff, we're a lot more sensitive to people. A lot more alert and attuned to their needs, you know, after we've been through some hard things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I would pass on to your listeners.
Well, thank you. We're going to pause here for our last break. When we come back, we're going to talk about ways to identify our passions. Here's some suggestions from Pat Williams. What is the work that feels like fun to me? Is this idea or interest or obsession, is it big enough? You ask yourself, what was my childhood passion? And then you ask yourself, at the end of my life, what do I want to leave as my legacy? And one more, ask yourself what stirs in my desire the right to right some wrongs, to serve others, and make the world a better place. How you answer those questions will help you identify your passions. Don't go away. More with Pat Williams when we return.
It ain't over yet, it ain't over yet, so move, keep walking, soldier, keep moving on, move, keep walking, until the morning comes, move, keep walking, soldier, keep moving on, and lift your head, it ain't over yet, it ain't over yet.
Love, Toby Mac, thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, this is Live the Promise, talking to Pat Williams. He's president of NBA's Orlando Magic, and he's got a new book titled The Sweet Spot for Success, Finding the Place Where Your Talent and Passions Meet. That's the sweet spot, identifying your talents. Some of them you may know about. Some you need others maybe to tell you. Think back to places and ways you were successful. Maybe you've got gifts that are just instinctive to you, but they're not so to everybody else. And then intersecting that with your passions, that's your sweet spot. We've got three copies of this book. It'll be out in about a month, but we'd love to get a copy, an early copy, into your hands. You can email to be part of the drawing. Email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put sweet spot in the subject line, and please remember that mailing address. So as we're talking about how we identify our passions, some of the questions we're supposed to ask ourselves as per your book, Pat, here's one. What is the work that feels like fun to me? Say more about that question.
Well, listen, if you can find that combo platter, Susie, you have got it absolutely by the throat. When you go to work every day and you're thinking, boy, this is what I do for fun, and I'm getting paid for this every 2 weeks. Wow, that's what you're shooting for. That's the goal, where you can enjoy what you're doing and have fun doing it. Let me tell you about Mike Vec, who's made a name for himself up your way, the owner and the operator of the minor league baseball team in St. Paul. His dad, Bill Vec, was the great baseball Hall of Fame promoter and executive. But Mike has a saying all over his ballpark, on hats and T-shirts. It's simply this: fun is good. That's their motto. Fun is good. He wrote a book with that same title. I think about that every day. Fun is good. And one of the things we're trying to do with our team here is every time people come to see one of our games, we cannot guarantee the won and lost outcome, but we can guarantee that they're going to have a fun night. Mm. They're going to have an evening of great fun and great entertainment. That we can control. That's just a little side note.
Very good.
But fun is good, Susie. And if people can learn to go to work and work hard and, you know, do their jobs. But in the meantime, they're having a good time. They're having fun. And I want to be known. I think all of us should be known. Boy, he is really a fun guy. Or that gal, boy, she is great fun.
Yeah.
It's wonderful to have her in this organization because she is really, really knows how to have fun. She's a great worker, great contributor, but boy, she knows what fun is all about. Fun's a good quality, Susie. It's nothing to be ashamed of.
Indeed. Very good. Well, here's another question. Is this idea interest or obsession? Is it big enough? Explain what you mean there.
Well, I think obsession may have a negative connotation, but it shouldn't. I think to be obsessed with some topic or some skill is great. My mother, who saw my great interest in baseball, once said, "Pat is a monomaniac on baseball." Well, I had no idea what monomaniac meant, but I later found out that that's his one topic that he's absolutely wild about. I like to see obsession in young people. We have a granddaughter, Susie. She's now 11, and her obsession is reading. That is her great, great interest in life and has been since she was a little girl. And everywhere she goes, she's got books in her hand. And I would say she's reading. I think she's in the sixth, seventh grade. She's reading at a high school level because she is just obsessed with reading. And I don't know how that happened. You know, her parents exposed her to books, but boy, she really became a monomaniac about reading.
Maybe she'll be an editor and author someday, you know?
Well, you know, don't bet against her, or a librarian, or who knows? But, boy, she's got a passion for books, and everywhere she goes, she's got a book in her hand. And it's exciting for us to see. When it's her birthday or Christmas, boy, she's easy to shop for.
Yeah.
A gift certificate to Barnes & Noble will make her absolutely thrilled. That's all she wants. So I like to see people who are obsessed with good stuff, in their life.
Well, that leads to your third question. What was my childhood passion? So to pay attention to some of the things that made you come alive as a child, right?
Well, Susie, when I went to that first baseball game when I was 7, I was stricken immediately. The colors, everything was green. Green grass, green seats, green fences, the smell of the ballpark. It just absolutely struck me like lightning. And I woke up the next morning. It was a Monday morning. I was 7, and I knew exactly what I wanted to do with my life. I wanted to be a ball player. I still want to be a ball. I'm almost 80, Susie, but I still want to be a ball player. It may not happen, but I feel like I'm still a ball player. But the administrative end of it has been absolutely fulfilling for me. You know, I've lived out that boyhood experience of going to that ball game my dad took me to, and that struck the chord. So my point is, parents and grandparents, expose your children to everything you can think of. Baseball, basketball, computers, fishing, hunting, museums, historical sites, theater, musical instruments, art, pottery. I mean, expose them to everything.
And
you
even
know,
as
they're
an
growing up, as they're and they'll tell you what excites them. It won't be hard. You'll find out. They'll tell you.
And I'd say even as an adult, it would be good to try some new things if you're in a rut and it's been a while since you felt your heart beat, you know. And we've got just a few minutes left, so I want to see if we can tackle these last two questions. Ask yourself, at the end of my life, what do I want to leave as my legacy? Talk about that one.
Well, that's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's Stephen Covey's great quote, begin with the end in mind. And he talks about at your funeral, what do you want people to say about you? What do you want to be remembered for, you know, when your funeral is held? It's quite an interesting thought, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think the most important thing, Susie, as believers is he lived a consistent life, a life that was pleasing to the Lord. He was never ashamed to share his faith because he had a burden for souls. He wanted as many people as he could think of to be in heaven with him, and avoid the pitfalls of being in the other place, which still terrifies me when I think about it.
Yeah.
So I think those are key points in any of our legacies. He cared about his family. He loved his children, was good to his wife, loved his grandchildren. Coach Wooden, who we've talked a little bit about, Susie, he lived till 99, and he was still speaking and writing on into his 90s, and all the revenues that he generated from speaking and writing went to the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren education fund. He helped put all of them through college, with earnings well into his 90s.
Mm.
Now, there's a good challenge.
Yeah.
A good challenge to stay relevant. And Susie, one other closing thought. Nowhere in the Bible do we read anything about anybody who retired. So I say to people, forget the word retirement. Work as long as you can. Keep generating a paycheck. And when that time comes that you move off into other areas, you've got all sorts of wonderful assets. You've got experience. You've got wisdom. You've got lots you can offer. So to sit around, playing golf all day or fishing all day, that's going to get old after a while. I think that all of us, deep into our 90s like Coach Wooden, can still make vital contributions. And I think God expects us to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And this final question, we don't have time to address it because it's time to pray, but I just want our listeners to hear it again. Ask yourself, what stirs my desire to right some wrongs, to serve others, and make the world a better place? And I'm praying as you listen today that you are inspired to identify your talents and passions. We're going to pray now. Pat, are you comfortable praying? Or I can pray if you'd rather not. But just thinking of that person listening today who is being stirred up and needs to start pursuing their talent and their passions.
Lord, we pray for those who have listened today. Who have skills but perhaps are frustrated in their work or aren't quite sure about what they should be doing, please give them clarity. Please give them a good vision of what you want them to do with their lives, taking their talent, their education, their experiences, and really using it, Lord, in a vital way. And above all, help parents and grandparents and coaches and teachers to really know their children inside out, and help them find a path very early in life where they can make the greatest contributions and have a life that really is fulfilling and pleasing to you. Thanks for Susie and her ministry. Help this radio station, Lord, generate the revenue they need so that David Jeremiah's of the world can continue proclaiming their messages. We thank you for all of this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mm. Amen. Pat, I so appreciate you. Thank you for that prayer, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Susie. Good to talk to you.
Good conversation. That's Pat Williams, everybody, president of NBA's Orlando Magic. Title of his book, coming out in just a month, The Sweet Spot for Success. Such an inspiration, finding the place where your talent and passions meet. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. Coming up next, the guys from Steiger International. Don't go away. Hour 2 is up next. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.